Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
As I was preparing for today, I worked out, I saw in this story more that might help us as a church than just that Ebenezer. That we've just heard is actually one of the great moments of spiritual revival in the people of God. And we want to see that. It's in our vision statement. So what else did the people do? And what's the bigger picture of how the Lord had helped them? Well, let me take you back to the bigger picture of the story for a moment. So it's a long time ago, and the people of Israel are having a very difficult time. And particularly, they're always fighting with the Philistines. And the last time they'd fought the Philistines, they had lost. But if that wasn't bad enough, not only did they lose, they also lost the Ark of the Covenant, which was captured by the Philistines. The thing that represented the presence of God to them, their most holy thing. And they were devastated. What has gone wrong, they thought. Well, 20 years passed. They've had a little bit of time to think about it. And now, in that time, the Lord has brought them on a spiritual journey. And they have realized some really important things. The first thing they realized is their need to get right with God. They needed to say sorry. Okay. Right. Here's the first thing. Samuel said, "If you are returning to the Lord with all of your hearts." He said, with all of your hearts. People of Israel, you need to be wholehearted in your discipleship. You haven't been following God wholeheartedly. Then, he said, you need to get rid of the foreign gods and Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Now, it's not that they didn't worship God at all. It's just that alongside worshiping God, they had quite a lot of other things that they worshiped as well. And God was saying to them, look, you're very, very busy, and you're not a little distracted. It's time to give God all your worship. And I don't know whether you've ever tried this. It's actually incredibly hard to get rid of your Ashtoreths and your Baals. But you kind of have to take your whole life apart a little bit. And sometimes you haven't really got the resources to do it. It was a big effort. But that is actually what happened. The Israelites set aside all the other things that they were worshipping and worshipped and served God alone. Then Samuel got the people together. And he was a very creative man, Samuel. He said, right, we're going to pour out some water. And pouring out this water is going to be a symbol of pouring out our hearts to the Lord in confession. We're going to say sorry to him for all the things that we've done wrong. The Bible says Samuel led them in a prayer that said, we have sinned against the Lord. Now, we're a place, we say we want spiritual revival at Emmanuel. I certainly do. I hope you want spiritual revival. All the great spiritual revivals of history started with the people of God coming to the Lord in repentance and confession, recognizing, Lord, we haven't got everything right. In fact, often we've been so far away from you, and we want to put you 100% in the middle. I've spent the week reading of the history of our church. And big thanks to Jan King for giving this to me. All sorts of wonderful details. And in it, there's one little account called The Church Built on Beer. And the reason we call it that is because those two ladies who are commemorated in the two plaques back there, they were very rich. They paid for the building. And the way that they paid for the building is they had a fortune from their dad who'd sold a lot of beer. But when you read the story of the church, it's full of wonderful moments. And actually, it's full of some pretty awful moments as well. And at the end, the person who finished the story, is a lovely little bit. They write, look, it's sinners who are gathered in a church. What its members have in common with each other is that they acknowledge that we need to be forgiven by God, and in gratitude for his forgiveness of us in Jesus, we have determined to do what would please him. We all make mistakes as we go along, as must be obvious from this history. However, the Lord forgives us. And there's a great moment as we look back, not to pretend that everything is perfect, but to recognize that we have a gracious Lord. And perhaps today is that's that moment for you. Perhaps you've got unresolved hurts from the past. Are there unrepented of sins? I know there are many things I've done that have hurt people, even in the 4 years that I've been here. Now is a time to pour our hearts out to the Lord. So we're going to have a time of confession. The words are going to come up on the screen, and please join in with the words in bold or yellow. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you, Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say, Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by the temptations in the world about us, Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son, Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. You know, the wonderful thing is the Lord has been merciful, not just for 125 years, but for the whole of history. And so I can say confidently, pray confidently, may the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, so the first thing was sorry. What happens next? What else did the Lord teach them? Well, the next thing is please. The people say, please God. So the story goes on. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. So things are dangerous again, and it's not surprising that people are scared. But then something very, very surprising in our story happens. You might have thought that, okay, the Philistines are coming, and so the Israelites would say, look, Samuel, thank you for your prayers. You know, really appreciate that. I think it's time for us to sort of get organized for battle, right? So if you could come over here, you know, and just tell us where we need to go. But that is not what happens. This is what happens. The people of Israel say, Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. We are in the middle of our year of prayer. Prayer has always been a massive thing in our church. I picked up the Emmanuel Parish magazine again from this wonderful little tome this week. In 1898, there were three prayer meetings every week, Wednesday evening, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. And during the war years, specifically 1941, there was a prayer meeting in this building every day from 8:15 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. Prayer is in our DNA. And as we look to the next 125 years in our future, and our own future as well, I wonder, is prayer, please, going to be there? Are we going to have that spirit of prayer? Will we continue to think that the best thing we can do for ourselves, for our families, for our church, is pray? Will you, will I, pray unceasingly? I hope we can do that. And actually, that's what we're going to do now. But as often is the case, we're going to sing and pray at the same time. Okay? So this is a great hymn that you will have sung many, many times. Lord, for the years. But listen to the words that we're singing, because they're actually a prayer for God's grace to us. Let's stand. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? So, sorry, please, that's our part. But the exciting thing about the kingdom of God is not really our part. It is God's part. So what does he do? Well, two things God does. He says, I hear you. And he says, I'm coming. I hear you, first of all. Verse 10, Samuel cries out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. Samuel told God about all the trouble the people were in, and the Lord, he heard Samuel's request. Now, I don't know what it's like in your household, but sometimes when I'm working at home, one of the kids will call out my name. Dad. And I kind of know I need to keep concentrating on what I'm doing at that stage. But I've got just about enough brain power in my head to hear them kind of say my name and say something like, yes, in reply. But that's kind of it. I don't really have anything more to offer at that particular moment. And so then what happens is they ask for something specific. And that is way beyond my kind of capacity to compute at that time. Have you seen my cricket bag? Is it warm enough for, you know, short socks, whatever? And then I just can't. That's just not my task at that moment. And a great long silence follows. Have you ever thought that God might be like that? But God isn't like that, is he? God hears. He is tender. He is interested. He has got the bandwidth. When you pray about anything, he hears. When you pray for England to win the Euros, he hears. They may not win the Euros, but he hears. When you pray that you could make it up with your friend, he hears. When you pray for the bitterness in your family that you have been struggling with for years and years and years, he hears. When you pray in the shadow of death because you're sad about a loved one, he hears. And we believe when we pray for our church, as people have done for 125 years, our beloved church, with all its glories and all its weaknesses, he hears. Now, to say he hears is not a promise he's going to do exactly what we want to happen in our church, but he hears. And finally, in this moment in 1 Samuel, he acts. God says, I'm coming. I'm coming. Gloriously, we did not have this yesterday at the weather outside in Kent. But we did have a sense of the Lord being with us. That's the spirit of verse 10. It says, that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The Lord thundered with loud thunder. The Lord turned up. He did something powerful. He turned things around. And where the Israelites feared defeat, he gave them victory and peace. Now, I wonder, would you like the Lord to thunder again today? Surely we want that. We want him to pour out his love and power into our hearts and through them into our community. We would love it to be the case that the people around here think we would not be where we are were it not for the Lord working in our place. And knowing that, and praying for that and looking for that is the kind of attitude that brought Samuel and his people to build their Ebenezer. To say, thus far, brilliant, you're on it. But let me say, it doesn't stop there. Because, of course, we live many, many years later than the days of Samuel. There is another, even more significant marker of God's help. Many years later, they raised something else, didn't they? Can anyone think what was raised many, many years later? A cross. Jesus. That's it. Not a pile of stones, but a man. And Jesus hung there to die. And then 3 days later, he thundered out of the grave. And that was God's ultimate way of saying, I hear you and I'm coming. I'm here. And he did it so that we could be forgiven and have new life forever. On the way in, I don't know whether you've ever seen this. There's a stone just behind the fire extinguisher by that door. And it's the foundation stone for this building. It's 125 years, actually a bit more than 125 years old. It took them a while to build the building. And it says, the preaching of the cross, the power of God. That is what we believe. That actually over these 125 years, the way the Lord has thundered in our midst is that the word about Jesus' death and resurrection and our possibility of being made friends with God, despite all the things that we do wrong, that is the power of God among us. And so I want to say to you this morning, if that's new to you, if the cross is not yet the power of God for you, this morning is the time. What do you need to do? You need to say, Lord, I recognize, along with the rest of humanity, I'm a sinner. I do not know you. I turn away from you. I go my own way. I need forgiveness and help. I need your power. I need your reconciliation. I need to be made friends with you again. Please forgive me. And then you will be able to say in a whole new way, thus far. Right. Wonderful. Okay, well, you know, one of the things that really encourages me about the fact that this message has really got into our bones is that we have songs written right here all about it. And so we're going to sing now. And this is a song we've sung many times over these last recent years, written by our team, all about the love of God on the cross. So let's stand to sing.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.